The following program is a JWC Media production for WrestleChat.net and CLW83.com. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For over 6 years, and nearly 300 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by...
The only person AJ Styles can trust is Alan Jones. So if I haven't made myself clear, I am with no one. Maybe your perception of me has changed. I understand that because my perception of this business has changed. But make no mistake about it, I'm better than the best in the world. I am the phenomenal AJ Styles. Although I love what I do in this ring, I have to understand that this is just a job. Despite what everybody thinks, and maybe you know where I'm coming from, you've had that job that just plain sucks. At one point, sometime or another, you've been shafted by upper management when you're the hardest working man in the building. Hey, Dixie, I deserve better. I have been your go-to guy for the past 11 years, and for what? So you can bring in the next star, the next big thing, and we can all watch him fail? Or maybe it's that new direction you were taking that didn't go anywhere. There I was to pick up the pieces, to bail you out and take this company and put it back on my shoulders. There are so many times in this past year, I prayed to God that you would just fire me so I didn't have to quit. But what I do, I stayed here and I done my job. Because like most of these people out here, I have a family and I need to take care of them. That's my job. That's what I do. But over the next couple months, something happened. Something clicked up here, and I got it. I like being your go-to guy. I like being the guy that can steal the show. I like being the guy that can send these fans going home happy because they got their money's worth. The question is, can I still be that go-to guy? You better believe it. Can I still take the weight of this company on my shoulders? You're damn right I can.
I'm sorry, I seem to have missed a button. As I was saying, if your name was AJ, you got plenty of spotlight. And this isn't because I can't even operate a microphone correctly, I shall not get any. That's not news. Let me bring you some news with the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and allow me to introduce the panel for tonight's show. Let us start with the man who accepted my Bitstrips invitation from all the way on the other side of the planet, Shane Beeman.
I will say that Bitstrips was actually rather entertaining.
And I apologize for the obvious joke was obvious, but I had to do it. A little closer in the neighborhood, all the way down in sunny or rainy Florida, Chris Waters.
Hello, 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 hello. How's it going tonight?
Quite well, quite well. And finally, our third for tonight is our cross-promotion guy from 5 Minutes at the Frat House, Sidekick.
Well, I am actually back on the show. Yay!
I just thought I'd bring you back because you had so much fun last time, and we had a good time with you here.
I did. I had a blast.
Good. Then settle in, strap on a seatbelt, and hang on because there's quite a bit that has gone on this week. And I think I'm going to start with the pipe bomb that was cleverly edited by our audio man. Mr. Williams put together some bits and pieces from an AJ Styles promo that may as well be his pipe bomb. Given that his contract was expiring, he pretty much went out there and laid it all out on the table. Shane, they granted him, they got him an extension to get at least through Bound for Glory. Should AJ stay?
Oh, hell no. I'm sorry, but everyone remembers CM Punk's pipe bomb. CM Punk got the deal extension and millions of dollars. AJ's pipe bomb got him a short-term deal till Bound for Glory and a pay cut.
That's not healthy. Okay. Chris, this is in your neck of the woods. Should AJ take a walk across the street and see if anybody's interested?
I would say so, but then again, the problem with that is twofold. One, there's that ugly tattoo AJ has on him that has his name on the side of it, so you can't put it through the NXT name generator. And two, there's the fact that AJ Styles is not exactly as young as some of the other talents that they've recently signed, so there's always the chance that they might not use him as they would want to. Now, would I like to see him? Yes, because even though I haven't watched TNA in a long time, I've liked his work. So, with that said, I would maybe try, but maybe he would be better off in, I don't know, maybe Japan or something. I don't know if he wants to continue working in wrestling, but maybe not work. I fell off the train of thought there.
Okay. Sidekick, let me, as AJ mentioned, he's the go-to guy for TNA and is essentially the closest thing they have to the face of the company, which now has a nice ironic ring to it, thanks to the WWE. AJ should probably go to the table when they start talking contract again. You think he could get away with a little bit of hardball?
That's actually a good question that I'm not quite... I think if I was in AJ's shoes, I would play hardball. But given, some of the stuff we've heard about the company with money and stuff, I don't know if that, is going to work right now. That's a really dicey kind of thing to do, given the situation. So, but I think he deserves it. I've watched TNA for years and I think he's great. I don't know if he's going to translate, if his success, if he goes someplace else, is necessarily going to translate.
I think he would probably do well if he did get back on the road and started, and did shows for Dragon Gate and Japan and a couple of other places. But yeah, he is no spring chicken. Although I would pay a lot of money to see AJ Styles in the Fed just for a couple of dream matches. I would pay very good money to see him do this. But unfortunately, I think the loyalty is still so deep down there that they're going to find a way around this. But AJ, do me the favor, man. If you have to cross the line, but stand on it firm and make sure that you get what you actually deserve. And that's some real money. At least that's how I feel. But
if he wanted it to be a real pipe bomb, if he wanted it to be just a little bit more edgier, at least CM Punk attacked his friggin' boss. I didn't see him once go after Hulk Hogan and say, and I know I'm better than Hogan, who's been friggin' putting me on the back burner since he's been here. But, oh well.
He implied that, though. He mentioned, I'm here as your go-to guy while you bring in the next, the next sensation, the next big thing, and then when it all falls to pieces, here I am.
Oh, here I was thinking she was talking about Rampage Jackson.
So, he's probably saying that about Rampage Jackson. He might even be saying that about Tito Ortiz, which reminds me. Quick round at the table. Sidekick, you probably have never attended one of these inductions before. Let me tell you a little bit about Room 101. The internet has wrestle crap. We have an isolated chamber where the absolute dreck, and we do mean dreck, gets locked away in hopes that we never have to deal with it again. So, sir, I bring to the table Tito Ortiz and his bashing of Dana White and a slavery comment. So he had made the statement that he thought slavery was abolished, but that's how he felt under Dana White. Yet at the Hall of Fame, he's like, without you guys, I wouldn't be here. Yeah, you'd probably be in jail, Tito. So, Shane, just a quick vote from you. Does Tito need to go take a seat in the room?
Tito needed to go take a seat in there when he debuted.
Granted, but at least we gave him a couple of weeks. Chris?
Lock him up and throw away the key.
So, Sidekick, you've got a pretty good idea what's going on. Shall we get rid of Tito?
Yes. Ship him off.
All righty. Where's the button? Button. Who's got the button? Ah, yes. Don't let this hit you. No, let this hit you in the ass on the way in. Okay. With that little bit of trouble out of the way, AJ is a moneymaker when it does come to TNA, and unfortunately, Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff still do not see this. Anybody else here seen their Q&A?
I read about it. I just haven't had the time to really sit down, or time or patience to sit down and listen to it yet.
Are we talking about the same Q&A in which Hulk Hogan's pretty much going down WCW Avenue?
Pretty much. It all boils down to, he essentially said, if TNA wants to succeed, they need to give us, him and Bischoff, the book and the wallet.
To which, if I was in charge, I would say, here is the boot instead, right up the ass.
Because, I'm sorry, how's that worked for you guys the last 3 years, huh? Seriously, you know how well it worked?
Wrong!
It's not working. And I might have some statements here that'll help this along. Give me a second while I pull up my newts. If I can find it again. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, there was something else it's Hogan said that Eric Bischoff needed to be given the keys to the car and that somebody somewhere needed to drop all the resources we need like we had in the Fed, whether it be cameras or money or vehicles or advertising, in order for TNA to work, quote-unquote, in a perfect world. Hogan, it's not going to work that way. And it's to the point, in fact, now I know where I read it. Give me a second. A couple of people have stated, on the condition of anonymity, that this would be a very, very bad thing. Obvious statement is obvious. Let's see. To the point that, according to WrestleZone, some talk to, what does the WWE think of all this? Production personnel have called Hogan and Bischoff's presence in TNA as a poison pill, and it's been like that for a while. Gee, another obvious is obvious. But it's not going to matter to Hogan because his contract expires after Bound for Glory. Then he gets on the phone with Vince. Sidekick, do you take Hogan back?
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, a lot of good questions tonight. Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer for McMahon. I mean, he's going to look at the dollars.
It's still a nostalgia thing, Chris, and the problem is that Hogan's not going to be able to really do anything. He can't work in the ring because his body's so beat up.
Has he been able to do anything in TNA the past couple of years anyway? So, yeah, pretty much, if they're going to do anything, they'll have him do a Legends kind of thing. And you're not going to – you know that Hogan's probably not going to be – no, Hogan after this TNA thing – it knows that this will probably be his last chance to do anything. So, and I don't know if I agree with what was just said in the chat with making him a GM, because I don't know if Hogan would be modest enough to want to just have that role of a couple minutes on a show and that's it. Although they do if he does do it, they need to keep him a face for that, because, well, when we'll get to that, I'll talk about the on-screen authorities that we'll have right now.
Yeah. Now, Shane, I'm going to read something else to you. This is what I was looking for. Some TNA talent have spoken up on this. On the position of anonymity, the statement about the resources and the keys to the car thing can't be seen as anything but a direct slap in the face to Dixie Carter. The source says, even if you agreed with Hogan, the way it was said and the way it comes across is just completely disrespectful to Dixie, even if that's not what he meant. But we know he meant that, Shane.
Of course he did. Hogan's always... Okay, yes, Hulk Hogan, thank you very much for the years that you gave us, but seriously, just move along, please. Dear God. I mean, if you haven't learnt from last time, Hogan, you had a millionaire in Ted Turner friggin' helping you out with money and crap, and look what you did to him. You plummeted his business to the ground. Dixie's not that rich, and you're going to plummet her, and you're plummeting her into the ground. Take a hint. Wrestling business is not for you.
So it's just to the point. No. It's to the point that the rumors stirred up again that Sting is probably going to walk. This could be the straw that breaks AJ Styles back. And if Dixie doesn't step up and say, I can't do that, I'm worried that a lot more people are going to start walking away from TNA, not just in the crowd, but out of the locker room. Take their chances across the street, go to Japan. Dial up Dragon Gate. Chris, do you see, Ring of Honor? Okay, that's another one. Chris, do you think this might be the big deal breaker in TNA? I mean, we've postulated the death of this company for years.
It depends on if Hogan is actually staying after October or not, because his deal is almost up, as you said. So if he's gone, that might change things around. If he stays, however, I could see people saying, see you, bye, and going wherever, pretty much. And then it'll be just Hogan and his crew. And we don't think that'll last that long, because remember what Hogan's little mini company that he tried to run for a little bit went.
And now, Shane, you make an interesting point. But, who really is the bad guy here? A gal who went back on her word for business reasons, or a guy who is in the business for himself and doesn't give half a shit about the rest of the guys in the locker room?
Exactly, but that's the thing, though, and that's the thing I'm talking about. Like, she went and hired Hogan knowing knowing all this and hearing all the stories about Hogan and Bischoff, but she went and hired them anyways. And yet, and then when you look at Dixie's business history, I mean, here's the same woman that promised a man that nearly broke his neck performing for her that he's got a job for life, and she sacks the man. It's like, well, are you really any better than Hogan? Because Hogan's just burying your talent that helped build your company. And she's not really fighting for him.
No, but this is kind of a make or break point. This is where Dixie has to stand up to him. Or better yet, I would like the senior Carters to go to Hogan and say, you want money? How about you earn us some? Because the 3 years you've been here, we're still at 1.1.
And aren't they losing money now that they're going on the road nowadays for Impact, last I read?
Well, the story broke a little while ago that it costs them a little over $1 million to do their two shows a month. That's not what they're losing. That's how much they're spending. But it sounds like they're not even breaking even on these trips, which is bad. Of course, you know, you're spending money just to lose the money. That's not how business works. But the problem is they're at a point of no return with that because the Impact Zone's already been repurposed. So they don't have a home right now except for Spike TV. So they have to keep going forward with that. And if that's the case, then yeah, this train's coming off the rails sooner than later. If Hogan goes, things might turn around. If Hogan stays, well, the crowds are going to be a little quieter.
They'll start doing AWA-style shows where they're just filming in the soundstage again.
And Shane, I can tell you right now, that crowd wasn't silent during that AJ chant of boring. It's like, oh, Jesus.
They should have been listening because a lot of what AJ said, you know, was pretty much where he is and what he's had to deal with. So, you know, best of luck to him. And I'm, you know, despite it, how much we dog on TNA, we don't want it to fail. But they're trying so hard to. So what do you want me to do? Do you want me to support you? Give me a product that I can support. If you want to fail, I'll sit back and watch the train wreck. It's that simple.
Yeah, see, I thought it was a mistake when they brought Hogan in. When they announced that, I was like, oh, no. Because I actually, you know, I'll admit, you know, I like watching TNA. I like it because it's, you know, I do miss the WCW days some. I mean, I thought that was a great run. Mm-hmm. And I like TNA as an alternative to WWE with the same kind of stories and rehashing and, you know, same style characters. And, you know, TNA was just different. You know, I liked, you know, going back to the six-sided ring and, you know, things like that. And, you know, Hogan comes in and says, oh, no, we're getting rid of the six-sided ring. We're going back to the four, you know, normal square. And I don't, you know, they started in with the, you know, the Nash and the Hall and the X-Pac. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, come on. And Bischoff, I'm like, it, you know, it worked years ago. Stop trying to rekindle it. You know what I mean? Come up with some original stuff.
Exactly. And this was something that that Hogan actually got called out on when RVD was part of TNA. He was still doing his podcast. And Hogan was actually called out on what he was going to do. And one of the things that he tried to snow with was a minute-by-minute ratings calculator, which does not exist, has not existed, And nobody's in any hurry to make one. So, Hogan, you know, don't try to snow people.
Bullshit!
If that's all that's going to come out of your mouth, shut up. Seriously. TNA needs to be that alternative again. I watched them in 05, 06, 07. I loved what I saw. With AJ, with Daniels, with Joe, you know, with Angle, with Christian, with Rhino. I was having a wonderful time with what I saw. Then Hogan walked in and that disaster called January 4th, 2010 happened to them. And to that I say, I'm glad I was sitting in the stands in Dayton watching the reconciliation. So, so let's actually talk some good stuff. Let me talk about another AJ. Let me find, actually, do we actually have a copy of it? You know, we joke about, like I said, we joke about all that goes on in TNA, and you know, I'm proud of what I've heard AJ say, but I couldn't be prouder of AJ Lee into what is being called the pipe bombshell of a promo, probably one of the best Divas promos I've heard in a long, long time. Shane, did you give it a standing ovation when you heard it?
Oh, hell yes. I especially love the part where she had to really hold back instead of saying sucked off and then sucked up to the right people. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Chris, I know you wholeheartedly agreed.
Yes, I did, and I'm surprised they let her get away with saying all that on TV. The only problem was there were two annoying shrill voices during the whole thing. I said, cut their mics off already.
Well, they were just, the problem was the handhelds were picking them up. That was the only problem with what was going on. Sidekick, I'm going to ask you another really good question. Despite the fact that AJ just tore the entire Divas division and Total Divas to pieces, do you think there will be a positive result out of it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I think the pipe bombshell was great. I agree. You know, I agree with it, but I don't think anybody's really going to listen.
No.
But, I mean, the fans are going to listen. They know,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I doubt that the machine will listen.
And that kind of bothers me, but I'm going to read you part of the pipe bombshell. Thanks to Tyler Brown for putting this in our newsfeed. AJ Lee, and I quote, "I didn't get here because I was cute or because I came from some famous wrestling family or because I sucked up to the right people."
And cue pom-pom being thrown.
Yeah. "I got here because I'm good. I earned this championship. No matter how many red carpets you guys want to walk in your $4,000 ridiculous heels, you will never be able to lace up my Chuck Taylors."
That was brilliant. I'd love that.
I was blown away. I was like, and because while I kind of disagree with her when it comes to Natalya is genuinely talented, but it takes two to wrestle. And what do AJ and Natalya have to work with? The only other diva in the division. No, I'm sorry. I better be at least nice to Caitlyn. Caitlyn as well. The only other athlete in the women's division that I see is Naomi. And we don't even get to see her wrestle.
That's just not counting the people on NXT. Let's just be clear about that.
No. But see, this is where I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping this is where the Divas division turns a corner. This is where we actually start seeing wrestling divas, where we get to see the Emmas, the Pages, the Charlottes.
Even the Summer Rae, she's not that bad in the ring. And okay. Speaking of wrestling divas, I just noticed this on when I was browsing the board. They had a little the WWE inbox video thing they had.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little thing with Caitlyn here, and it said that one of the people that she wanted to wrestle was Karma, and that's first time we've heard that name in a while from a WWE source, if I remember correctly.
Uh-oh. Internet a wrestling business rule. Name drop is usually a warning. If they're not in the company, they're on their way. If they just left, this was their bye-bye. Just saying.
Yeah. Speaking, and I'm just going to post a picture of Karma at now just for show people what she looks like now, so she might be more considered for WWE, even though she's not their perfect choice of body
Holy
type.
Holy crap, where's the rest of her? Seriously, where's the rest of her?
It went away with the ring attire. That's why she's got that weird outfit that she's got on there.
I was going to say, she looks like she's dropped about 75 pounds.
Yeah.
Well, and apparently go ahead.
I've heard that. I haven't seen any clips, but I heard that originally she had a body similar to Caitlyn's when she started before she got up in weight. So.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Boy. That's what I'm saying. We're, you know, this is what people said to me after I had dropped weight. You know, where's the rest of you? Which reminds me, I need to get a new suit coat for my road trip next week. but yes, if we've heard Karma's name, that might mean they're talking to her. Miz keeps dropping John Morrison's name. Stop teasing me, Miz! And just give me those abs. Not yours, Miz. You don't have any. So it's just, you know, but yeah, that's something to keep an eye on and keep an ear out for. Speaking of which.
Oh, look, the carrier pigeons with the announcement from the general manager.
Ah, yes. And the general manager sends a note, and I quote, There was a naming day at NXT, so you might want to take a look at all of those names, because one doesn't roll off the tongue as well as you know, as well as what you know him by. I know. Spoiler: Sammy freaking Callahan is now Solomon freaking Crow.
Solomon Crow, one pants two. No.
I stole that from you.
Yeah.
But we've got that, and the other big news that I know you've been jumping up and down about all week is the fact that the Evil Doc had sat down for an interview. He spoke about the internet fans, but he wasn't as blunt as CM Punk was.
All right, fuck you.
But I tell you what, some of the things that I read in this interview just make me respect the man all the more. And that's what I want to jump in on. After we take care of a little bill paying, we're going to run a handful of commercials. So, gentlemen, the restrooms are open. The vending machines are plugged in. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
how many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news?
3, 4, 5 or more?
Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net,
your pro wrestling news source.
Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Chris Waters, Shane Beeman, and Sidekick from 5 Minutes in the Frat House. I want to touch on something. Actually, I'll start with what the GM was talking about in his note. The fact that somebody was having some fun with the name generator. So, allow me to bring it in properly.
It's time once again for a trip to the WWE Random Name Generator. Here's Nikki Heyman.
As you see, many other individuals have been added to the NXT roster, and they were blessed with their new names. As I mentioned before the break, Sami Callihan is now Solomon Crow. So, let me run down some of these names. And to that, yes, I think the chat room asked me, isn't that a badass name? Actually, I was hoping it would be Solomon Crowley. Then I would have genuine chills. So, but no, I like it. Don't get me wrong. It's just, it doesn't roll off the tongue like Sami freaking Callihan did. But I blame Sami Zayn. Don't blame if you're in the ring wrestling. Excuse me. I have to.
It's a mark out moment. A mark it out, bro.
I think he's having the vapors again.
I can't help it.
There we go. John Morrison versus Sami Zayn versus Solomon Crow versus John Morrison in a fatal four-way match.
How did you get Morrison in there twice? That's just not playing fair.
Okay, well, I just missed somebody then. Oh,
shoo,
Dean Ambrose.
Shoo,
there we go.
Shoo. Anyway, let me get down that list before I lose my mind and punch Chris Waters. Let's see. A lot of these names are not going to mean much to our listeners unless you are watching NXT, and now you no longer have an excuse because Hulu took it off the pay side.
Yay!
So, Chris, you get to save $10 a month.
Yeah, I just got to cancel the payment part of it now. No, wait, I might still need to because I watch Superstars too.
Fair enough, but now you have no excuse. Some of the best wrestling that WWE is producing is actually down there on NXT. So let me get you some names, and you take the time to go put faces to these names, because eventually these people are going to be gracing your television. Stephen Cole, his name has been changed to Cole Andrews. Anybody with the name Cole in this business has one little issue. Random and random and random. Why the hell would you want to be associated with Michael Cole? Sorry, it was too easy. Let's see. Brittany Fitkin has been renamed Devin Taylor. Sounds like a male name to me. Erica Hammond has been renamed Veronica Lane. I like that.
Veronica Lane just reminds me of the female from the Archie comics. The
Veronica Lodge.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be her gimmick
since Ted DiBiase is no longer in the company.
Yes, but it sounds amicable.
Yeah.
You know, let Ted enjoy his vacation, and I think he'll be back in a year or two. Let's see. Smith James has been renamed Bull Dempsey. This apparently is a very big man. Lexi Kaufman has been renamed Alexia Bliss.
I'm going to interrupt you one more time there. I'm kind of upset that they changed her last name, because I wanted to see her slap Jerry Lawler and say, "That's my Uncle Andy right there."
Good Lord, this would be better. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
There's just too much comedy. CJ Perry is now just Lana. Okay. Let's see. Australian talent Matt Silva. You seen any of his work, Shane?
Yes, I have. What the hell they changed his name to?
Let me play the random. Let's see what the randomizer did to his name. Buddy Murphy.
Oh, shit! Ah, hell no! That is unacceptable. That is... Oh. My God, how can you take a man that was well-known over here for being a masked guy named Sarge and turn him into friggin' Buddy Murphy? Really? That just sounds like a friggin' jobber.
I will sum Shane's thoughts up right now.
Jesus!
Yeah, that's a crappy name, and I hate, you know, I don't want to say racist, but kind of colloquial. I'm not sure how to put it, Shane, but are they going to try to do a Outback Jack with him?
If you're going to do that, you might as well call him fucking Crocodile Dundee Jr. Jesus Christ. Buddy friggin' Murphy, really?
I don't know what this guy looks like, so the name Buddy Murphy just makes me think of, well, they don't have Showtime Percy Watson anymore, so they're just going to have somebody else do an Eddie Murphy gimmick.
Matt Silver's a stocky bloke, he's good in the ring. I'm just peeved that, I'm excited that he got into NXT, but damn, Buddy Murphy, that's just, really? Might as well call him Buddy Bloody Rogers. Dead set.
sidekick. Granted, you probably don't. I don't know if you know any of these particular workers, but what do you think of the name generator now?
You call that a power bomb? That's not a power bomb. This is a power bomb. Sorry, that was my really bad Crocodile Dundee wrestling reference. I don't get a whole time. I wish I had time to watch, you know, the superstars and NXT and everything else. But, yeah, I DVR, you know, Raw, TNA, and SmackDown, and I watch them on the weekend when I have time. And can skip through all the commercials and stuff. None of those names really sound any good. Best way I could put it. None of them pop for me.
Ah, gotcha. Nothing really sends you.
Right.
I think a couple of the couple. Yeah, Shane.
If you got one.
But I mentioned.
You've forgotten Samurai Del Rey. You got renamed.
Oh, Kalisto. That's right. Yes. And how do you feel on that one, Shane?
I feel like I should go out and get a crystal ball. Not be watching wrestling. When I hear that name, Kalisto, it's like, okay.
I just feel like it just reminds me of Xena Warrior Princess right there for some reason.
Was that what you meant by your joke of Kalisto versus Xena? Or should I say John Xena?
Well, now, I don't not the picture of John Cena dressed as Lucy Lawless. Thank you very much.
Cannot unsee. Enjoy that little image dancing in your brain.
Well, I've had worse images.
Okay.
Katie Vick happened on my birthday, so I'm going to have worse images.
Oh, I apologize, sir. No, I don't. Anyway. Now, every now and again, we come across Grantland.com, and they've put up some wonderful articles, including an amazing interview with Ric Flair a couple of years ago, where they talked about his money issues. Well, we've got a money interview, as they managed to sit the Evil Doc down, and now I can call him the Evil Doc. The evil boss, Dr. Levesque, settled in to answer questions. And he was actually fairly cordial.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
But it's some very interesting, just some really interesting stuff in this interview. I don't know, have any of you on the panel read this article yet? That sounds like a no. Sounds like a no. Okay. Well, let's put it this way. I'll read you some choice bits. Stephanie controls the gigantic entity that Creative is, which includes the magazine, the digital, the live product, you know, everything. So the continuity remains between the digital and the magazine, between the domestic shows or international shows, all of those components and those teams, which is a massive amount of people. She coordinates it all, and then Vince signs off on it. But Hunter has allowed his creative input. He mentions that Vince still loves his job despite being at it for 30 plus years. 35, according to this article. He would rather still sit in creative, but there's a whole bunch of other shit he's got to do. Interesting insight, Sidekick. They asked Hunter about, you know, if there would be a apt comparison to Lorne Michaels, who runs Saturday Night Live. Apt?
You might not be the right person.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't see that.
Okay. Hunter put it in a perspective. When WWE did Saturday Night Live, that's what Hunter thought when he first met Lorne. When they showed us the script, Vince was like, Lorne, this doesn't work. I'm going to go upstairs with your writers and rewrite this. That's how he is, and that's how Lorne is. I don't care how big they are, they're still going to have that. Because that's what they like to do. I don't necessarily like sitting in a room talking about budgets for live events. Let's see. In the wrestling business, I do this because of the 20 minutes in the ring I get every night. It's that other 23 hours and 40 minutes of the day that I just put up with to get there. Chris, I think that's summed up anybody's life. Just that shining moment and just tolerating the rest of the day.
Yeah, it does really, and it shows that he's got a lot of stuff to work with, more than we thought that he would. Although, I think he's a little exaggerating of the 23 hours and 40 minutes, because he's got to have some time for himself here and there. Not much, but here and there.
Number threes would probably argue about the 20 minutes in the ring part.
Then is that, were we talking to Vince or Hunter, just to make sure?
Hunter.
Yeah. That was just his promos, isn't it?
Pretty much. Now, here's the one bit that I had to read. Where he was talking, when he was putting developmental together. Find it. Okay. They flat out said to Hunter, there's been a lot written about you on the internet over the years. Hunter's answer is Gene Aguilera worthy. And I'm sorry that he's disappeared on us because he needed to hear this. I can't do it in Hunter's voice because I'm not really good with the uhs and I can't get it all through my nose. And I sound like John Laurinaitis. So, in my horrible Hunter impersonation, this is Hunter's answer. I wish I had the brain power and the wherewithal and the drive to be as maniacal and devious as people fucking think I am. I'd be fucking Darth Vader. I'd run the Empire, and I guess maybe that's how some people see it, right? They say, oh, he wasn't in there, and he went in there and he buried this guy, and it's like, fuck, I had nothing to do with that. I didn't even know he was coming until I saw him that day. So, ladies and gentlemen, to the number threes in particular, he reads what you said, and you can hate him all you want because he's going to take it, put it on a piece of paper, and turn it into his on-screen character. Shane, your thoughts.
Oh, that explains why we got the thing from last week. Now I get it. I was wondering why he was just kneeling down looking at Daniel Bryan going, come on, you can do it, you can do it. That's pretty much pissing off the IWC and everyone else going, come on, you know you want to hate me. You know you do. It's like, oh, shit.
And Hunter's doing such a brilliant job of the sidekick. He's channeling that boss that every desk driver hates.
Oh, definitely. I thought it was brilliantly done. I like it. I do wonder where the hell Vince has gone, though. but yeah, I think it just looks like Triple H has been given the keys to the car. So, sucked in Eric Bischoff. Looks like someone got the keys to the car when you didn't.
There you go. Actually, they take it a step further and mention that sometimes the internet gets it right. And specifically, they talk about the Lesnar incident. When Lesnar first walked out, Hunter tells a story that that Vince was frustrated that fans knew that Lesnar was in the building. And Hunter explained it to him, no, they don't know, but they're hearing a lot of stuff on the internet. Now, Vince probably hasn't discovered the internet himself. But even despite the fact everybody, quote unquote, knew this was going to happen, the roof still came off when Lesnar walked out. Because it still made money. To this, I'm going to turn back to his character, who has essentially brought all the little wrestlers to put them all in line and shut up big mouths like The Big Show, Dolph, and The Miz. Chris, your thoughts on the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, and what he's doing.
He looks like he's embracing what the character he was playing in 2000 with the McMahon-Helmsley thing, but even more so now that he's got power backstaged with it. And he, in his own serious way, he looks like he's having a good time with it. And it's working, and I think it's going to work with the Daniel Bryan to build him up there. The only thing is that it is kind of making a few jokes. Like, he's saying, if he's reading the internet and building up his character from internet things, when are we going to get the Daniel Bryan versus Triple H Buried Alive match?
I'm sure they're doing this. Somebody's doing this on their 2K13 as we're recording. Sidekick, despite the fact that Hunter has got you sold out chance. Hunter's buying into his character and is going to make freaking stars out of Bryan and Ziggler. Hell, he might even help The Miz.
Absolutely. He's selling that character. You know, everybody hates him now. And he's doing a great job at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's been able to make us hate him again. He's been able to make the world hate Randy Orton again, although admittedly, I never stopped. We got some vehicular mayhem out of it. So I'll just ask this, Chris. Would you drive a Yescalade?
Cue a Daniel Bryan clip for me there.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes! 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 Yes!
I just find it funny they keep giving Randy Orton cars, because both times that he's gotten cars on TV, something horrible has happened to it, and I think it's the same color paint as last time, too.
Actually, this is the third time that this shit's happened. Kofi Kingston ruined the race car.
Right.
I think it was Big Show who spray painted the bus.
Wait, I thought that was Big Show's bus and somebody else took care of it.
I gotta look it up. It's somewhere in the Picks and Gifts thread. They had the pictures all together. Because that bus, the bus in question, used to be Hunter's, and I think Orton got it. Go ahead.
I just remembered. I thought it was Del Rio using it on Big Show's bus, but I could be wrong.
Del Rio took stole the wheels off Big Show's bus.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But yeah, but for the record, I don't think nobody on the show said anything about this, but it was mentioned somewhere on the interwebs that those yeses look like they were written by different people. So Daniel Bryan shouldn't be the only guy in trouble. But, you know, he took the rap for it. And Hunter's weaving his magic into making sure that we are supposed to boo the Shield, because, yeah, they were starting to get face pops because their entrance is really cool. They have an awesome t-shirt. Buy it. Buy two. And now they're doing these monstrous beatdowns where, you know, they've beaten the high holy hell out of Bryan. They've beaten the high holy hell out of Ziggler. They almost got the crap kicked out of them by Big Show, who was punished on SmackDown by having to sit on your bottom, in your seat, and do nothing. Shane, I got to give it to Show's acting skills. He stewed pretty good through SmackDown.
Oh, definitely. But he's always been brilliant when it comes to doing things. When he was first time when Brian got attacked on Raw and everyone had to stand there and watch, you could just see it on his face how much he wanted to knock Triple H out.
It's to the point that there was actually a knock him out chant at the end of the show when Hunter finally stormed out there and sent Show to his room. But
yeah, so I'll be one of those people that's gonna be I'll be sitting at the TV when Show finally knocks Triple H out and be like, yes! Finally.
Let's see. This is part of the building of the story. This is all part of the chase that Daniel Bryan is going to be on. Like Gene said last week, you couldn't push Bryan any harder than the way he's being pushed right now. Meanwhile, Randy Orton is soiling the belt.
Meanwhile.
If you don't believe Nikki Haymon, just ask Dolph Ziggler. He'll tell you.
Ah, yes. And thank you for putting that in the chat, Shane. I can hear a few number three saying, wait a minute, Big Show's got this ironclad contract. Hunter didn't write that. Hunter's character has the power to take that ironclad contract and meld it into a sledgehammer head for himself.
Or a new crown Daniel for his next WrestleMania appearance.
I wouldn't argue, but JBL actually pointed this out on SmackDown, and I'm proud of him. That ironclad contract can be ripped up in Big Show's face because Triple H has control of that contract. He can take that ironclad out. And that's what happens with the transitions that go on in companies. So again, it identifies with the audience. The depth of this storyline sidekick is incredible.
Oh no, absolutely. I like the storyline. I'm curious where they're gonna go with it. You know, Walkout is Miz Ziggler and Show going to, you know, get fired. Yeah, and have more of those infamous "you're fired" things, or you know, where are they going to go for this? Or even could this all be kind of a ruse, perhaps? And then you know, with some, you know, with Triple H then becoming you know, he was actually trying to take control away from the company or something. You know, some weird swerve that, you know, nobody saw coming.
I'm kind of hoping that that's not where we're going with it, because I don't think in 2013, 2014, down, Chris, that people are going to watch a McMahon's and Helmsley feud, despite hand-picked opponents. WrestleMania 2000, anybody?
Yeah, the only way you're going to make that huge is if you get Shane McMahon returning. And then everyone's going to be like, whoa, this just got interesting.
And that's not going to happen, because Shane's very happy with what he's doing. And the fact that Hunter and Stephanie and Vince are more or less on the same page now. It would be fun to weave a story where eventually they end up pitted against each other. But they've essentially set the example with this entire overreaching storyline. It's not just Orton and Bryan. It's not just Bryan fighting the corporate machine. It's the corporate machine putting its steel-toed boot on the neck of these guys. And we've all been there. And it's just, you know, it's beautiful and it's mesmerizing. It's making good TV. I am not a WWE apologist. I know I will say a show, but it takes a lot for me to say a show sucks. What I've been seeing these last couple of weeks since SummerSlam is probably some of the most well-written TV that they've got out there.
That's just in the main story. We're not even getting into the other major story that had some pretty good acting in it, too.
Which one in particular?
The one with your family feud, as it were.
Ah, yes. My dear Uncle Paul, who is utterly frustrated with his prodigal son and what was in a series of events that ended in what somebody called during the break, the passion of the punk. Where Curtis Axel and my dear Uncle Paul pretty much ganged up on him, handcuffed him, beat the holy hell out of him, both physically and verbally. Now, Shane, were you the one who said during the break that it had a kind of a Godfather-y feel?
It really did. Paul Heyman was acting as the Godfather, just directing traffic, pick him up, and then said, "I loved you like a son," and kept beating the holy hell out of him. And said, "I molded you, I made you like me. We were gonna go far," and then just kept going with it. I was like, "This is Godfather, man, but it's brilliant."
I was also intrigued by the Passion of the Punk jab sidekick, because at the end of all this, yeah, we had a slightly bloody, very beaten and confused and angry CM Punk.
Yeah, I'm loving this storyline too, with, you know, the whole, you know, the family against, you know, the son, and, you know, it's great, you know, you know, the whole, you know, prodigal son, you know, this is going to hurt me. And, but yeah, I love that storyline.
And what was, the question just flew out of my head. Chris, your flaking is contagious.
Yeah, sorry about that. But, when I was looking at it, I was just, there's two things I thought of going out of this whole thing. One, you're probably going to get Axel losing the title soon, since they put them in a match where it's not a title match at Night of Champions. So you probably have Punk cost him the match soon enough. And two, when they were doing that, you've had the Passion of the Christ reference, we've had the Godfather reference. I was just waiting for Paul Heyman, while he was caning CM Punk, to say, "Your name is Toby," right there.
Oh. Actually, I'm kind of hoping that next week, when Raw is in Des Moines, and I will be there, please come by, shake my hand, that Punk gets on the microphone, and at some point during his promo, he says, "You can keep beating me down, physically, verbally. Thank you, sir. May I have another?" Granted, it's kind of a wide tangent to the Tommy Dreamer Raven stuff, but it would fit Punk's character. "You can do all this to me, but I'm going to keep getting up, and I'm going to keep getting up, and I'm going to keep getting up until I get my hands on you, Paul. And when I'm done, there's not going to be much left of you." That, Chris, is just brilliant. And I'm not being, you know, this is not my bias at all.
Yes, me and Chris were just actually discussing. Or you could go all Rocky Balboa on Paul and be like, come on, Paul, hit me harder. You ain't so bad.
Yeah.
Well, my Uncle Paul is a manager. He really shouldn't be able to do that much damage.
Well, you combine Paul's acting and Axel's hitting, and then you might have half of a Mr. T. So that would work with Punk's Rocky Balboa.
Or, you know, my dear Uncle Paul's... no, I don't think that works. Wolverine's never faced the Kingpin. You're the comics geek, Chris. Help me out here.
Yeah, none of the only comics I'm following are the Pony comics and Mega Man comics and my reviews of Sonic comics, but we'll get back to that part at the end of the show.
Yeah. Okay. So, but yeah. This has got some wonderful direction, and eventually, yes, the Intercontinental title is going to be moved. We're just not sure where. But let me just make a comment about something that has been bending my brain for the last 2 weeks. I got my answer, and to this I say,
I don't mean to toot my own horn, but I called it! Woo!
On last week's show, and possibly even 2 weeks ago, I made the comment that Ricardo Rodriguez and RVD is probably the most random pairing this side of Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Super Crazy. Turns out, this was a very, very last-minute thing. So they're going to have fun with this for a little while. Because... Shane, you've seen that Del Rio keeps saying that he represents the Latin population, where RVD just represents California. RVD's just holding a spot open for his former tag team partner, who's due back in September.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I'm actually liking. I don't know why. I'm liking the pairing of Ricardo and RVD. I have no idea why. It's just, it's a really odd pairing, but a good one at that. It sort of makes me flash back to RVD's ECW days with, and I'm sorry, I can't remember the guy's name.
Bill Alfonso.
That's the one. Coming out, blowing his whistle and everything else. It's like, oh god. Now we need is for Ricardo to have that, and we'd have a massive ECW flashback.
The only reason Ricardo can't get the whistle is because there is no way Ricardo Rodriguez is going to beat Titus O'Neil in a wrestling match.
Oh, damn.
But
apparently, like, apparently no one can. Not even an All-American can beat him. God damn.
And, you know, kudos that they're pushing the primetime players, and I don't think it's just because of Darren Young. I really think that, you know, Titus is starting to hit on all cylinders, that Darren Young is more comfortable, I guess is the best way to put it. And the fact that the real Americans are kind of stuck running in place, I blame Jack Swagger.
Well, you can't blame Antonio Cesaro. I mean, I'm sorry, if you saw that NXT 2 out of 3 falls match, hell no, you can't blame Cesaro. He's obviously got wrestling skills.
Are you talking about a specific spot with the 2-tiered delay superplex?
Oh, not only that, just the whole match in general was bloody brilliant. I mean, we saw some old school, like, Rey Mysterio type stuff there with a suicide dive through the ropes from the other side of the ring into a, like, a... It's like, ha-ha. Oh, yes!
And then there was a Cesaro holding up Zayn just to toss him in the air and hit the Swiss death on him.
Oh, I do like that. That version of the European uppercut, I really do like that. That should be his finisher, not the neutralizer. Yes, I actually said that a European uppercut is better than the Swiss Army knife. I know. But no, it's not. It's nothing that Cesaro did. I think this is. I think Jack Swagger's punishment has been a staggered deal. That the real Americans aren't really going to go anywhere but be the punching bag for the tag team division, while the Shield are the top heel champions. Because I whenever don't they, have.
Go ahead. Whenever they don't want to drag 3MB out anyway.
True. And when we're getting new jobbers soon in Los Matadores, so.
Oh, late.
More like, oh my.
I'm sorry. It's catchy. I'm sorry. I can guarantee you that will become eventually become the new yes in some places. Everyone's gonna be like, ole!
Now we got the new Matadors. Now who's gonna take over the Repo Man gimmick when they come? Which tag team's gonna take that over?
Oh, good lord!
Some people have suggested the Ascension because they look creepy as heck for it.
I would hope that someday that they do get the Ascension gimmick of some sort onto TV. But I'm sorry, Conor O'Brien still looks like a rat. If I couldn't remember his name, I would just call him Templeton and be done with it. With apologies to Paul Lynde. Anyway, yes, I've just made a 1970s reference. Get over it. The primetime players are moving up. The real Americans are moving down. The Los Matadores are going to. I hope they don't end up being Los Mas Jobbers. I don't want them to be major jobbers. Please, no.
Well, if they are, they'll just be continuing what they were before they put on the masks.
At least they can hide their shame. Damn it, if we wanted masks... Go ahead.
Can I go back to the RVD Ricardo thing real quick?
Sure.
Or something? There's two things I wanted to say. First of all, I liked Ricardo's non-tux shirt that he was wearing when he was managing Rob Van Dam that night. It's kind of a neat little twist on him since we've seen him so much in the tux.
Right.
And two, I had a weird fantasy booking thing with this. Ricardo helps RVD win the title from Alberto, getting him out of there. Then, after he gets the title, Ricardo turns on him, and he brings out Damian Sandow, and then Ricardo becomes Damian Sandow's new the Kato to Sandow's Inspector Clouseau of sorts, minus the martial arts skills.
Sidekick, what do you think of that?
I guess maybe once we see them come in, maybe it'll grow on me. Like when Fandango came in, I was like, oh, are you kidding me? It's Disco Inferno. But I have to say, though, that now, you know, and then the whole, you know, not wrestling and it's Fandango was, you know, I'm like, oh, come on. But I have to say, though, I'm growing to like him now. Like, you know, I watch and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, he wrestles good. I like the character now. So hopefully maybe this whole, you know, Los Matadores will grow on me a little bit. And it's just not some, you know, like you say, you know, some jobber or something like that. So,
I'm just going to drop a logic bomb on them. They're Puerto Rican, not Mexican. Okay.
Yeah, actually, Sidekick's just given me a brilliant idea. You know that whole thing with Barry Murphy? Can we just go and ask Ultimate Warrior if we can borrow one of his old gimmicks of Dingo Warrior? Give it to him.
There you go.
Now we're somewhere.
You know what I was going to... And I looked up the picture... You know, of Matt and that, and I'm looking at it and I'm like, you know, they're not even close to being a Buddy Murphy, you know?
Exactly.
I'm, you know, there's no way. You know, I it just sounds like they're going to ruin him. You know, I hate to say it.
Yeah. Buddy Murphy, I think, would work better with the Sami Zayn guy. And I'm not dogging on Generico. I really am not. Even if he is the tallest gnome I've ever seen. He is.
And I know, I just remembering that when I showed you the David the Gnome theme for, I mean, you said that should be his entrance music or something like that.
It should.
I'm sorry, but seriously, someone have a look at Matt Silver. Tell me you can't put some face paint on him and call him the new Dingo Warrior. Seriously.
Actually, Psychic, can you get me that? Can you throw that pic in the chat so I can take a look at it?
Yep. Because he dead set looks like him. It's like, holy crap.
But one thing I am glad about is that we are, I know it's, there's silly ones, but I'm glad we are getting gimmicks back into wrestling, because for the longest time, they were just like, put them in a machine, you get as close to an Orton clone as you could get out of them. So it's good to see weird characters come back, because it reminds me of my childhood when I started watching wrestling. My first wrestler I saw was IRS, for crying out loud. And now we're getting Los Matadores, we got Fandango. In NXT, we got Tyler Breeze, who is the love child of Dolph Ziggler and John Morrison, pretty much.
Yeah.
Doing a Rick Martel gimmick for the modern era.
And then the photobomber.
Yeah. From the Moonchild Colony, or commune. Right there.
Put that on TV yesterday. I mean, yeah. CJ Parker was hilarious.
Funny thing is, a lot of people don't seem to like him as much as you do, Nikki. So.
Well, it's just the fact that, you know, maybe somebody we're at least two generations past that era, so some people aren't going to get it.
Yeah. All I don't get is why they gave him the same name as Pamela Anderson's character from Baywatch, though.
I don't know, but Jesus, Shane, Matt Silva's a beast!
Exactly! And that's what he was known as over here. Like, he was known as the Beast Matt Silver. Friggin' he was known over here as, he used to wear a mask and used to be called Sarge as well. That's what I'm saying. This guy's a friggin' unit. And the fact that WWE have not thought to themselves, okay, well, we've just done this brilliant thing with, you know, Ultimate Warrior and everything else. Why not, like, things that we're using stereotypes and things like that? Dingo Warrior works more well with an Australian guy. I don't know. Call me crazy. Oh, Jesus.
For crying out loud, find another beast like him, throw some face makeup on him, and bring back Demolition.
No, the Sarge thing's got the wheels turning in my head, Shane. We need a new Sergeant Slaughter. We need a new military guy.
And not just John Cena playing it up.
If you could, I would say, yeah, try and somehow make it seem like he's
losing
a,
you, Shane.
Like Sergeant Slaughter's son or something, maybe. Yeah, but yeah. Break up with me. I was saying, if you can somehow get him as saying he's Sergeant Slaughter's son, I have no idea how you're going to do it, though. But,
Oh, no. He doesn't have to be related to Sergeant Slaughter. I just want a military gimmick.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, that. Getting doing his Sarge gimmick, like, it might not. Like, he can. I don't care if you rename Sarge to whatever you want to call him, Corporal or whatever the hell.
And then call GI Put him in it. And then
punishment is GI like Put manage him.
And Chris, I heard G.I. Bro, and I'm thankful you said that, and not Sergeant Hatred.
But yeah, I feel if you give him that, then Matt will run with it. He will take it, run with it, and you'll definitely see Matt Silver in WWE main roster sooner than later.
Yeah, I think he would be better off with a, you know, hell, maybe you don't throw away the name, just call him Sergeant Murphy. I'm sorry, Shane.
I'll take fucking Barry Murphy over Sergeant Murphy. I'm sorry, but I will. It's like, oh god. I don't even know why he had to change his name for. Matt Silver is a great wrestling name. It's just
trademarking.
But if it's his real name,
it's his thing.
Can't do much, huh?
It's his thing, though. That's his name. So
if that's his real name, then they can't trademark it, and he can take it with him.
Oh, damn.
Well, is that maybe the angle they're starting to go with this?
Well, see, I don't have any angle info when it comes to him. We just have the naming.
Well, maybe angle was the wrong word. But is this maybe a trend we may be seeing out of the developmental group? Is, okay, look, we're going to change your name to something else, so that we can now trademark it.
Yeah.
It belongs to us.
Yeah, because there's a couple of guys, you know, there's a handful of wrestlers that still work under the real name. And then there's exceptions to the rule, like RVD, who pretty much took care of all of his copyrights and trademarks so that he could take that anywhere he goes.
Same with Christian.
WWE can't.
Yeah, same with Christian and CM Punk, from what I can tell.
Yeah,
I don't know about Punk, but I'm a Christian. He went by Christian Cage in TNA when he was there.
Right. And I think Punk pretty much owned his stuff, and he probably has only my dear Uncle Paul to thank for that. Otherwise, they probably would have run him through the name generator, and Punk would have punched somebody's lights out.
Speaking of your Uncle Paul, I'm still waiting for this new Heyman girl that's been rumored to be coming out soon.
On my fingers crossed that it's Paige.
Oh, yeah. Don't we all? I'm telling you right now, I want this for my WrestleMania. Triple H, if you're listening, seeing as how you pay attention to the internet fans, I want AJ Lee, Paige, WrestleMania. Make it happen.
Diva ladder match. No.
No, it doesn't even have to be a ladder match. Hell.
I just say that because I want to see a different Diva ladder match than the one they had from OVW with Beth Phoenix against somebody, I don't remember who. And they had the worst announcer on OVW for that, because I can't watch that match with audio.
Actually, I would like to see it be a gimmick match. I'm not sure what kind of gimmick, but AJ's nuts enough to do that, and Paige strikes me as somebody willing to try just about any kind of match. And hopefully by this time next year, Paige, Charlotte, and Emma will be called up. Summer Rae will actually be wrestling. Naomi will actually be wrestling. And Cameron will be out of a job.
I watched Naomi's match with AJ, and I thought right there, I was like, please don't let this end. Please let it go for another 5-10 minutes. This is brilliant.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Naomi can wrestle. Naomi is great, but they won't use her.
I just find it funny the Funkadactyls are actually getting more time than the team they're supposed to be managing.
Well, I think the bloom's off of their rose, so I have a feeling that team's not going to be around much longer. They just got to figure out what they're going to do with those two. So,
besides making them Wyatt fodder.
Yeah, basically. Well, I thought it was the whole, Tensai coming back, and now all of a sudden he's wearing Kango hats and dancing around. I'm like, what?
They saw that the Tensai gimmick was not working, so they said, you know what, screw it. And they played it with Brodus Clay cracking the shell that was around Tensai, and we found a human being.
Screw that. I say give back the A-Train gimmick and have him flatten Brodus Clay.
Nice.
It could happen. So since we're all the way down to talking about jobbers, I think I better call this a show. So before we go, Sidekick, do you have something to promote besides your wonderful edition of 5 minutes at the Frat House?
No, just the five minutes at the Frat House. We taped our 104th straight show yesterday, which is the official end of 5 minutes at the Frat House. Next week we'll be taping our second anniversary show, and we will be rebranding next week as well, and also changing up the format of the show and coming up with something new and fresh that hopefully we'll hope everybody will check out. You can check out our episodes on frathousesports.net or on our Facebook page, Frat House Sports.
All right. And Chris, I know you will have something to promote.
Yes, on my site, MrCMWaters.blogspot.com. Recently, I put up the first two of my reviews of Sonic comics that I'm trying to get every issue, which is over 400 comics. So I'll be doing it for a while if I continue doing it. And by the time you listen to this, I might have another one up. And I'm still working on trying to get back into my other shows, the Watercolors and the Washout. One reviewing cartoon stuff, one reviewing wrestling media. I'm still trying to get those, but two jobs makes it hard to do those.
And Shane, do you have something to promote?
No, I don't have anything coming up at the moment.
So, all I have to promote is that you will be seeing Nikki Heyman on the road next week. I will be attending the Raw in Des Moines. And I will be attending the SmackDown tapings here in Minneapolis. I'm hoping to get some wonderful photography and hopefully a recruit or two, but my schedule for these two shows is extremely tight. We'll see what happens. But I have nothing else to promote because I am right here. So for Sidekick, for Shane Beeman, for Chris Waters, my name is Nikki Heyman. You have been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, and please do check back with us. We always have something at least half witty to say. And, oh yes, and just for you, Jim, I think I have it. No, I don't. Drat.
Stay pony, my friends.
Thank you, Chris.
You've been listening to a JWC Media produced program.